Excuse me, reading on the wrong line there. Paper 12, Kenichi.
Good afternoon. Agenda paper 12. This agenda paper addresses the issue of what is the obligating event for levy that is subject to a minimum annual threshold as well as a pro rata threshold. The submitter describes a situation in which liability to pay a levy arises as a result of activity during a period but is not payable until a minimum activity threshold is reached. The levy is also subject to a pro rata threshold if the entity starts or stops the relevant activity during the annual assessment period. The submitter says that it's not clear how the activity that triggers the payment of the levy in paragraph 8 of IFRIC 21 should be interpreted when identifying an obligating event for such a levy. In our technical analysis, we focused on the existence of a present obligation for the levy. We don't address other criteria for the recognition of a liability under IS 37, such as probable criteria. Looking at paragraph 12 of IFRIC 21, we note that it is clear that if a levy is subject to a minimum activity threshold, the obligating event for the levy is the reaching of the threshold as identified by the legislation. So in this fact pattern, we think that the entity needs to identify which threshold is the relevant threshold for the purpose of applying this requirement. In the light of requirements IS 37, in particular, the requirements in paragraph 19 of IS 37, we think that reaching the pro rata threshold described in the legislation should be viewed as an obligating event for this levy. This is because under IS 37, a present obligation is identified by assessing only past events, and future events should not be taken into consideration. So in this fact pattern, once a pro rata threshold is reached, no further action or event is necessary for the levy to be payable on a pro rata basis. And the results of our outreach do not indicate whether there is significant diversity in interpretation of IFRIC 21 for this issue, because most entities have not implemented IFRIC 21 yet. However, we think that IFRIC 21 would ensure consistency in interpretations IS 37, and we think that it is unlikely that significant diversity in practice will emerge. So we recommend to the committee that it should not add this issue to its agenda. And our question is, does the committee agree with the staff technical analysis in paragraphs 14 to 15? And does the committee agree with the staff recommendation that committee should not add this issue to its agenda? And if the answer to question 2 is yes, does the committee agree with the wording of the tentative agenda decision in Appendix A to this agenda paper?
Comments? Ross?
I'm lost in interpretation of IFRIC 21 with where you're going on this one. Because I would have come to a different answer. I don't understand the rationale for saying that if the payment of the levy is triggered by a pro rata threshold, the pro rata threshold should be viewed as the relevant threshold for the levy. Because it's the question of whether or not you should take into account the fact that an entity ceases operation during the year or not, and whether this affects the amount of levy, or this affects the threshold which must be passed in order to pay a levy. How does this tie up with the going concern assumption? How does this tie up with previous discussions we had on the banking levy, where we said no matter when you stop having your accounting period, it's at the end only of the accounting period, so you don't anticipate the fact that you might change or not change. The accounting period, the triggering event is only at the end. So here, as long as you have not decided to cease operating, I don't see why you should go and look at the prorata threshold. And in my jurisdiction, for example, I may have prorata threshold if an entity ceases operations, but there will not be prorata threshold if an entity is disposed of to another one. Or if there are some particular sales. So I always had interpreted IFRIC 21 to say, wait until, in the current situation, wait until the last triggering event has occurred, and that's when you start recognizing an exception. That's what I thought I understood from IFRIC 21, but maybe I didn't understand it properly.
So your interpretation would be that the obligating event, the only way you can trigger the pro rata is to go out of business. So in the facts that we were given, the only way you can trigger pro rata assessment is to go out of business, so therefore the obligating event is going out of business.
Yes.
Okay.
So there would be a change occurring for the threshold if indeed, it is probable that you're going out of the business during the year.
Yep. Yeah, I know at least one board member who shares your view. Andrew?
I think I'm in the same place as Rob. Broadly, I agree we shouldn't take this onto the agenda, but I'm afraid I don't agree with the staff's analysis. I think it revolves around what do we mean by independent of an entity's future actions. And the staff's analysis says, in effect, we assume that everything stops. At that point, the pro rata threshold becomes a fixed amount, and if we've exceeded it, we have an obligation. That's not consistent with the guidance on IAS 37, which has the example of an aircraft where it says something's not independent of an entity's future actions because you could sell the aircraft in the future. I think if there is an action the entity could take which doesn't itself incur a different liability and would avoid an outflow of economic benefits, it doesn't meet the definition of a liability under IAS 37 or IFRIC 21. So it seems to be saying here that the pro rata threshold is the same as the progressive threshold. And I think they are different things.
Well stated. Martin?
Yeah, I'm afraid about unintended consequences. I mean, think in terms of take or pay contracts, where you have to take a certain volume, say 100, or you have to pay 100 million. And for the first half of the year, you have taken nothing. So would the consequence of a pro rata threshold then to post already an obligation of 50 million because you haven't taken anything? No, you could take the whole part at the second part of the year. And more or less, if the levy is different, you might reduce your production facility within the second part of the year to avoid paying the amount. So it's still under your control.
Okay. Tony?
I share Laurent, Sandra, and Martin's perspective. I just thought of a couple of examples when I was analysing it. I thought, for example, of a seasonal business where your revenues or employee expenses or whatever it is are significantly higher in the first quarter. Does that mean you book a liability in the first quarter and then have to reverse it, which doesn't seem to make any sense, but I think it's where this conclusion would lead us. Or if you're a company that's hovering around the threshold, you book it in Q1, you reverse it in Q2, or you book it in month one and reverse it in Q2, and it just seems to me to completely contradict the principle on which IFRIC 21 was built. And so it just seems to me that there's actions the company can take to avoid paying it. So I would get to a different answer, the same as the others have spoken.
Joanne?
As the submission actually says, they acknowledge that we effectively had this debate
when we developed IFRIC 21, and that IFRIC 21 is not necessarily the same as some other standards, for instance IAS 34, and we acknowledge that. And to me, if you follow where we got to in IFRIC 21 with the pro rata, it's an event that happens upwards, you don't know, you've got to say we're a going concern at the moment, therefore you don't do the pro rata.
Reinhardt?
I essentially have two points. One is we're finding in the Canadian context that IFRIC 21 potentially has significant impact and could have some fairly significant changes to existing practice. So whereas I think part of the thinking was that IFRIC 21 might be applied to a narrow fact pattern, given the principles therein, we're getting quite concerned as to the extent of the impact. The second thing is, not inconsistent with what the others said, what I found confusing about the staff analysis is that in the analysis itself, the staff say they agree with view 2A. And 2A not only looks to whether you've passed the pro rata threshold, but whether you also assess if it's probable that the annual threshold will be reached. And I didn't think that that was consistent with the principles in IFRIC 21. And I was concerned that that could undercut the conclusions in IFRIC 21.
We're on our way to a perfect storm here, Charlotte.
Yeah, I agree with what everyone else said. I thought I could see there were specific circumstances where pro rata threshold would be written into legislation, but that would be the exception rather than the rule. And just for example, like bank levy, it just doesn't seem to be consistent with IFRIC 21 at all.
Late board member privilege.
Yeah, I think Reinhardt partly made the point I wanted to make about this notion of probability of staying above. Because, Tony, you said there are companies which have a seasonal business. So assume at the end of Q3, you have passed the threshold, but you don't know for sure whether you will stay above the threshold or go down between now and the end of year. And in this case, I could say, okay, maybe you don't have liability. But if the fact pattern is that at the end of Q3, you think it is probable, your estimate is probable that you will stay above, will not you book a liability in that situation?
I wouldn't, because this committee deliberately didn't put probability of getting something by the end of the year.
Yeah, but is
it? I might if I had a clean sheet of paper and start all over again.
But I understand this committee might be reluctant to do that.
I would too, but is it a slight difference? In terms of fact pattern, you have already some triggering events which happen here. You have already passed a pro rata threshold, so there is some triggering event. Different with IFRIC 21, where you have not passed any triggering event.
I think my concern is that IFRIC 21 tells you it is the final triggering event. And again, if I had a clean sheet of paper, maybe I'd say something different, but I'm sort of working with what we concluded in IFRIC 21, and it says it's the final triggering event that
is it a further interpretation of IFRIC 21? Or I'm seeing the committee. Yes, I am. But no, I really want to test my understanding of where you are. It seems to me to be a further interpretation of 21. But
I think Tony has said it properly. He said if there are multiple triggering events. Until I wouldn't have said the last one, I would have said until you have all of them, which I guess would mean one of them would have to be last. But unless you have satisfied all of the things that are obligating events, you don't do any booking.
Yeah.
Charlotte, did you want to come back in?
Time was the payroll tax seems to be out of context. So I thought that wasn't supposed to be really covered by IFRIC 21. I know IS 34 has completely different treatment for payroll taxes than for most other things. So there is a sort of pro rata averaging rule there.
But I think that will be higher,
I think. The payroll tax.
Yeah, we have some payroll taxes. So in the scope of IS 19, some in the scope of IS.
I think it was supposed to be one here, so I think the assumption is it was in.
Okay. Sandy. Yes, did you want to come in too? Okay. Go ahead, Sandy.
Oh, I was just going to agree with what Tony had said. I,
I would agree with what everyone said, but what Tony said in particular, because I remember when we had the conversation about this, because I had exactly that struggle with it. But I felt like when we went through the paper, we were confusing the pro rata payment, cash collection of it, with the expense. Because this was just a means for the government to collect the amount up front instead of waiting until some threshold was caught at the end. So when I read it, I thought, this is how, you know, just like withholding tax, that I'm being required to make a payment up front, but I can make other decisions along the way other than, you know, if I go out of business, then I go backwards. But I just felt like we were confusing a cash payment with an expense.
Good point. Cass, did you want to come in?
Well, I disagree with everybody said that this is, I think, a wrong interpretation of IFRS 21. I think the one should be the correct interpretation of this. As Tony said, that this is the last triggering event happened is the when we recognize liability, which is counterintuitive. The original interpretation is, but that is a consistent interpretation.
Laurence, last call.
To come back on Philippe's point, but maybe there is a need for further guidance, I think that indeed we could clarify a situation about what is the last triggering event. As I said in my introduction, sometimes the threshold may change depending on whether you continue in operation or whether you dispose say an asset, depending if the tax is based on a specific asset. And in my jurisdiction, for instance, if the tax is related to an asset and you dispose of the asset, then you go for pro rata threshold, otherwise you wouldn't have that pro rata threshold. And the question was, even if you intend to sell, when do you have this pro rata threshold come into play? And I would come back to what Tony said, is my triggering event is not when I know it is probable that I will sell. It is when I sell. The trigger event is when I sell. That's when the threshold level changes. And I think that this type of illustration or clarification could be helpful for people to understand what IFRIC 21 says.
Yeah, it's I think worth noting that the existence of the liability is dependent on the triggering event, and then the recognition is dependent on three characteristics, which includes the probable outflow of benefits. So I think it's worth not, you know, make sure we don't lose sight of the probability coming into the recognition as distinct from the existence of the obligating event.
Yeah. I'm talking about the existence.
Yeah, I think you just confused it rather than
clarifying. Yeah.
I don't think. I think the probability goes.
You don't take probability into account.
Not for the obligating event, I agree. That's right.
Not
only
for the existence of the obligation.
Well, but having an obligating event with a zero probability of an outflow doesn't help clarify things.
Anyway, I think, Kaneeti, you've got your message.
So what are we going to do?
We're going to write a different agenda decision. I think we can do that between now and the time you get update for review. As to the additional guidance that you'd like to add, Laurence, I'm not sure. Do others think that we should attempt to incorporate that into the agenda decision? For example?
If we were to do that, every time somebody has a challenging question, they will send us a note and suggest that we do a bit more in terms of illustrative examples and so forth. And I wonder whether it might be better to wait and just see if there are lots of questions and whether we could capture a range rather than I give people the impression we'll answer every question they send
us. Especially given Reinhardt's problem about in Canada, people are seeing this. I guess the question I would ask is, do you think it's because of this or because they had a different reading of IAS 37? But I guess my point being that if 21 we thought didn't tell you anything that 37 didn't already say.
I think it's more an issue of the scope.
Pardon me, John?
I think it's more an issue of the scope. I think there's big questioning in Canada right now as to how wide the scope of the AFC 21 is. Levy is a very generic term. And they are, I know that they are right now investigating a number of situations where banks would I think it's questioning whether they fall in effect 20. And if they do, then that I think it would give them a different accounting treatment than the current accounting treatment.
Perhaps then what we should do, consistent with Tony's suggestion, is since we have at least one jurisdiction where people saying, gosh, I didn't know I was in this, or gosh, I didn't know that was the answer that I would have gotten. Maybe if we could get an inventory of those and look at them, not as a submission, we've got to do something with it, but if we can get an inventory of them, then we can look at them at the staff level and consult with the committee on what to do next.
Just to that point, Wayne, in Canada, as you know, we have an IFRS discussion group on. They're meeting in December, and one of the agenda items is exactly that, if for 21, to try to get an inventory. And so what I would encourage the group to do is to send that through to the staff.
And that's a very constructive group. They've been very helpful over time, and we would certainly want to go to them. Scott, last word.
It's not important enough, really, to be the last word. First, I agree with where everybody's going. I didn't agree with where we got to in IFRIC 21 on annual thresholds, but given that that's the answer, I was having trouble figuring out why the pro rata was any different. If there's a way to get out of making the payment, then I think we haven't hit the threshold yet. And that seems
I think
clear.
Somebody, maybe Martin, said it was the difference between pro rata and progressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in this case, it appears that a pro rata threshold is simply a progressive threshold that only kicks in if a contingent event happens.
Yeah.
If a contingent event hasn't happened. So, it does. That seemed clear to me. The staff got to a different answer, and I was interested to hear why, but I think the discussion has revealed that we're all pretty much on the same page. With respect to the I'm interested in John's comments that the question is the scope of IFRIC 21. I thought we had drafted the scope relatively well, so be interested to hear what the questions are regarding the scope issues. We took a while on the scope to try to make sure that we caught what we meant to catch and didn't catch other things.
Well, let's wait and see what they come up with rather than blue sky in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am interested. If you're seeing 15 or 20 issues that we hadn't anticipated, we need to know about. Okay. So much for paper 12. Let's see if I can read the agenda correctly this time. And that would be paper 14. Zero. IAS 8.